All right, Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter. First in the New Living Translation. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Question number one. Where are the other 9? Question number two. Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Question number three. And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." All right? Verses 17 and 19. Verses 17 through 19, excuse me, in the New American Standard Bible. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed?" Question number one. "But the 9, where are they?" Question number two. "Was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Question number three. And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." I'm going to talk to you for the next few moments as the Spirit of God allows. What a difference thankfulness makes. What a difference thankfulness makes. And today's sermon concerns itself with us looking at the difference between healing and wholeness. The difference between healing and wholeness. Father, open our minds that we may understand the scriptures, open our eyes that we may see the wonderful things in your instructions, and open our hearts to take heed to all that you have to say, in Jesus' name. The word thankful is defined as a readiness to show appreciation for something or to someone or both. Now, I've added this phrase to it, in absence of a sense of entitlement. Did you get that? Okay, let me read it again. A readiness to show appreciation for something or appreciation for someone or appreciation to something or someone and in absence of a sense of entitlement. For those of us who have been in Christendom for any length of time, the biblical account of the 10 lepers is familiar. However, as we prepare to celebrate another Thanksgiving week, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I would like to explore another consideration examination of this biblical account as we glean some truths that perhaps have previously eluded us. In this account, Jesus is journeying towards Jerusalem, passing between Galilee and Samaria. Incidental to the journey, he enters a village. When I saw the word village, I thought about Hempstead Village because that's where I grew up, and that was the way we would often refer to Hempstead as Hempstead Village. So he entered into Hempstead Village, and now I live in the village of Freeport. So he entered into the village of Freeport. Upon doing so, he is passionately and desperately entreated by 10 lepers who strongly petition him to mercifully intervene in their hopelessly dire situation. For those who are not acquainted with leprosy, it is an extremely, extremely debilitating, horrific skin disease, skin disorder that evolves. And if I could use this term, we tend to associate it with cancer, but let me borrow this term, that metastasizes. Okay, it metastasizes. In other words, it grows exponentially and it grows so evasively and pervasively that leprosy metastasizes to the point where it begins to take over the body. It begins to cause the extremities, the ends of your limbs to dry up, to shrivel, to be deformed, and it causes nerve damage, okay? And so here are these 10 lepers, okay? And they strongly petition Jesus as they see him coming into the village. How would they have seen him coming into the village? Because they were on the outskirts. Lepers were the outcasts of society. Okay? So because they were on the outskirts of society, they would have been on the outside. They would have had a first look to him coming in. Here is a revelation by the Spirit of God that's not even in notes. Don't cry and whine about those who have ostracized you and outcast you and left you out, because they put you in a position where you see Jesus coming before they will. Don't feel like, okay, I've been left out, I've been scorned, I've been rejected. That's okay, because oftentimes when you find yourself in that kind of position, you're not with the in crowd, you're not with the popular crowd, but it's okay, because I want to submit to you, based on today's revelation, that you have been put in the perfect position where you get first dibs on Jesus. All right, and so Jesus answers their plea by instructing them to go and present themselves to the priest. Why did they need to go to present themselves to the priest? Well, if you look at Leviticus, the 14th chapter, verses 2 through 32, there was laws that the children of Israel were given, and it was up to the priest to maintain hygiene in the camp. And so when an individual had a skin disease, especially was infectious, it was up to the priest to serve as a doctor of sorts to monitor how it was progressing. And the priest was given specific instructions to determine whether or not they had been healed, or whether or not they were getting healing, or whether or not they were at a place of cleanliness or holiness, so that diseases and germs would not overtake the camp, okay? It was God's way of using quarantine. Are you with me? So he says, go and show yourselves to the priests. As they go, they are cleansed of their leprosy. One of them notices the miraculous change and makes his way back to Jesus. He makes his way back to Jesus. They had left Jesus, but this one went back to Jesus. Here is another revelation by the Spirit of God. Some things you will not get from God until you go back to him. Okay. So one of them notices a change. He makes his way back to Jesus, and in a posture of worship, expresses his gratitude and appreciation to and for Jesus with thankfulness for what he did. Worship is incomplete without thankfulness. You can't worship God. You can't truly worship God, okay, in totality, in all of his fullness, without there being some point of thankfulness. The Bible then inserts an incidental parenthetical narrative. It says that this particular leper, okay, is a Samaritan. He's a foreigner. Okay, which means that the other nine must have been Jewish, or the other nine must have been church folk. It was the foreigner, it was the one outside of the community of faith, it was the sinner, as it were, the one who was unchurched, who had the presence of mind to realize, hey, something happened. He touched me. You see why the Holy Spirit did what he did? And the unchurched man, the one who we would think would not know any better, does what the church folk are supposed to do. Yes. We're coming into a phase, and we're coming into a stage where Jesus is beginning to separate the wheat from the tares. He's beginning to separate the goat from the goats from the sheep. He's starting to call the ons from the offs. He's starting to determine the ins from the outs. And a lot of us who have been hanging around church for a long time are about to be in for a rude awakening, because sometimes we're hanging around the church, but the church never got hung in us. Okay, we've been in the church a long time, but the church hasn't been in you long enough. And there's some folks that's out on the outside that have been beat up and ravaged by sin and by unrighteousness and by the devastations of all the things that the world has to offer. And it doesn't take them a deep course in theology. It doesn't take them to have credentials. It doesn't take them to realize that when they see God coming, hey, that's God. I know he is. And they respond accordingly. It's the religious folk who have been churchized, who get such a deep sense of religion, who know all the Holy Ghost lingo, who know all the church jargon, who know all the Christianese, who think they got a lock on this thing. Jesus walks up to them and they ask him, who are you? They know traditions, they know all this other stuff, but they don't recognize. And this foreigner, this Samaritan, the one who was unchurched, realizes, hey, something happened. This was a move of God. We didn't do all of this, and we all go all of that, but there was a move of God. Some folk, we didn't have church today because you didn't do all of this, you know, and you do all of this, and then you go back to the same defeat you left. But then you look at the folk who sit down and allow the Lord to give them some revelation and worship in the spirit and in truth and who walk out empowered, and you think, oh, they missed it. No, you missed it. So here comes the Samaritan, and he went back in the spirit of thankfulness, which is true worship. Okay? And he says, he gives God praise because he was healed. When you've been touched by God, nobody has to tell you what to do. You don't need a praise and worship coach. Okay, the praise and the worship will come out of you. That's why I've come to learn over the years, people who you have to coach and coax and stimulate and do-si-do your partner and take them through all of this stuff, that's an individual who has not had an encounter with God yet. Because when you have an encounter with God, nobody has to tell you. As a matter of fact, you're going to beat folks looking. You're going to look at, what's wrong with you? Hasn't the Lord done anything for you? Haven't you experienced the power of the living God? Come on, let's praise him.
Yes.
Okay, So Jesus looks at the man, and he has three questions for him. Three questions. And he says, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Is this foreigner the only one who returned to give God glory? Three questions. Everybody say three questions.
Three questions.
I'm doing good with my time. He says, didn't I heal 10 men? Didn't I heal 10 men? The second question, where are the other 9? And the third question is this foreigner the only one who has returned to give God glory? Then Jesus makes the following peculiar pronouncement. He says to the foreigner, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Let me tell you something about the Lord was dealing with me about worship. He said, whatever you do, Darren, don't lose worship. I know you may be going through some things right now, and you may feel humiliated, you may feel embarrassed, you may feel isolated, you may feel persecuted. He said, whatever you do, don't lose worship, because those who humble themselves and worship to me, it's only a matter of time before I exalt them in due time. And that's scripture. And he said, yeah, you may be going through some difficult stuff right now, but it's okay. I'm about to upend you and turn you right side up. Okay, you was upside down, but I'm about to turn you right side up, and I'm about to use you for my glory to let people see what I do for those who stay connected to me. Whatever you do, don't stop worshiping.
Amen.
And this foreigner gives us the picture. Okay, in order for Jesus to have to tell him to stand up, that meant he was in a prostrate position. That meant he was bowed down. As you're being thankful and as you're worshiping, humble yourself, prostrate yourself. Subject yourself. Put yourself in a lowly position. And it's all right. I'd rather be in a lowly position before God to be in an exalted position with people.
That's it. Amen.
Because the same people that put you up are the same people that will take you down. Okay? But when God raises you up, nobody can't touch you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then he says, your faith has healed you. There is much revelation that's packed in this often pondered biblical story, which is typical for this time of the year. However, we want to follow the Lord as he, by the Spirit, begins to unpack some revelation for us. Okay, so Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, journeying between Galilee and Samaria. Both of these regions represent people, circumstances, and situations who are desperately in need of Jesus. Okay, as you're driving throughout wherever it is you go, if you come from Suffolk County, as you're driving throughout Suffolk County, you may be driving through Brentwood and Bayshore and Commack and Northport and Smithtown and just to the far-flung regions, or you may be in Nassau County as you're migrating through Roosevelt and Freeport and Westbury and Hicksville and Jericho. As you might be going to Queens, St. Albans and Jamaica and Hollis or whatever. As you're driving, take note of how you're moving throughout the cities about how people need Jesus. If you're paying attention, if you're watching, if you're looking through the lens of the Holy Spirit, you can detect and discern things that are going on with people as far as how they need Jesus. And I'm concerned about us as believers, as the people of God, how we just migrate through life with such an indifference, not being aware of what's going on around us, about how much our world needs Jesus. We can see the signs, and not only do they need him, but they desperately need him. Okay, Galilee is a prosperous Jewish contingent that needs to be spiritually regenerated. Samaria has been besieged often by military conquerors, and they've been so devastated that they need to be physically resurrected. So one side, you got folks that have everything on the outside, but they're decrepit on the inside. Okay, and on the other side, you have those who have nothing on the outside, all right, and nothing on the inside. Both of them represent the need for what? Regeneration and resurrection. Everybody say regeneration and resurrection. Both of these individuals represent the extreme dualities that's in work in all of us. We all need to be regenerated, and we all need to be resurrected, okay? We need to be resurrected from the death that results in the trespasses of sins, and then we need to be regenerated, changed from the inward propensity to continuously commit sin. It is at the intersection of these two extremities, the need for regeneration and the need for resurrection, that Jesus is engaged by these 10 lepers. These 10 lepers represent the most glaring, tangible illustration of these two conditions. When you look at these 10 lepers, you see us, the need to be regenerated and the need to be resurrected. Okay, now you can consider yourself to be great and wonderful and be all of that and good. I'm happy for you. But the truth of the matter is, you are somewhere on the pole and in a spectrum of needing regeneration and resurrection. There's something in your life that needs to be regenerated, and there's something in your life that needs to be resurrected.
Yes.
If you tell the truth, okay. If you tell the truth, there's something in your life that needs to be regenerated, and there's something in your life that needs to be resurrected. And here comes Jesus at the fringes of society, at the fringes of culture, stepping into the reality of these things needing to happen. So these 10 lepers saw Jesus and they cried out. Jesus acknowledges them by instructing them to go to the priest. Go to the preacher. Go show yourself to the preacher. Knowing full well the hygienic implications of Levitical law, Jesus sent them to the priest. All right? Interesting. He didn't say, you're healed, go. He said, go. Are you with me? He didn't say, you're healed, go. He said, go. All right? He would not have done that if their cleansing was not a settled issue. He would not have sent them to the priest if their healing, their cleansing, was not already a settled issue in his mind. All right, here we go. Here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, faith accepts Jesus' answer even when it seems to not address the question. He said, faith accepts Jesus' answer even when it seems to not address the question. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a conversation with God, and I was talking to him about some things that was going on. Not only was going on, but is going on. Talking to him about some stuff, some issues I'm dealing with as a pastor, some issues I'm dealing with as a man. And I said, you know, God, this is the long way around. You can make this so much easier. Why do we have to do it like this? You ever had that conversation with God?
Come on.
Hallelujah. And you begin to state your case and begin to tell God what he's capable of. Not from the standpoint of confessing faith, but from the standpoint of trying to manipulate him. Can I talk to y'all in here? And God said to me, can I trust you to trust me? Can I trust you to trust me? It wasn't the answer that I wanted, but it was the answer that I needed. And so I had to immediately understand by faith, I've got to accept the answer, even though it did not seemingly address my question. And here's a little secret. It addressed the question. It just didn't address it the way I wanted it to be addressed.
That's it. It addresses.
See, when Jesus is Lord, you give him the license to do things the way he wants to do them, whether you like it or not. And you mature to the place of accepting it and being able to say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So they all went and they were healed, that is, cleansed as they went. We have to conclude at some point as they went, all of them became consciously aware of the change in their condition. But only one of them recognized the responsibility, the need, and the obligation to do something with and about the change. None of them kept going. Going where? Going where? We don't even know where they went. The Bible didn't say they went to the priest and did what Jesus said do. Okay? They just kept going. Maybe they went back to their families because they had been ostracized and so removed from them for so long. Maybe they went to a job that they had to take family leave from. Maybe they went back to get in somebody's face who had criticized them and ostracized them and scandalized them and talked about them because of their condition. Maybe they went back to say, now look at me now. They went where? The Bible doesn't tell us where they went. Because where they went is not important to the narrative. It's not significant and it's not meaningful. We're told about only one, his destination. Not fair. You sleep with the preacher. Not fair. Okay, preaching ahead of time. Okay, he's only one. Only one. We're told about his destination, and where did he go? He went back to Jesus. See, the scripture doesn't tell us about their destination because the destination they chose was not appropriate for the revelation. The scripture highlights the one whose destination was the right one, back to Jesus. This one leper saw that he was healed, cleansed, and he went back to Jesus. This one leper recognized where he was supposed to go, and he went back there to Jesus. When he got back to Jesus, he made sure it was clear why he went back: to worship with thankfulness. When you come to church, you need to make sure God knows why you came. Don't come with an attitude, God, I'm doing you a favor today. I'm showing up. Because the Bible says, forsake not yourselves, the assembling of yourselves, as is the manner of some, but be sure you come together, seeing that you can exhort one another, seeing what day it is. Oh, say, God, I came to do what you told me to do. No, I came to give you praise. I came to glorify you. I came to honor you. I came to make it clear that I want you to know that I love you, that I took time out of my schedule. I hollowed out a couple of hours on this Sunday when other folks are dealing with a football game, when other folks are dealing with the NBA, when other folks are dealing with this. No, I came because, Jesus, I love you, and I want you to understand very clearly how I love you. I didn't come to look. I didn't come to spectate. I came to participate. Amen. I didn't come to evaluate. I didn't come to analyze. I didn't come to criticize. I came to give you praise. I came to give you glory. I came to worship you. I came to honor you. And I want you to know it. Okay? And if the other folks happen to figure it out, that's good. But if they don't, it doesn't matter. Jesus, as long as you know, oh my God, as long as you know why I came. As long as you know why I came. And then Jesus asked those three questions. And then he drops the pronouncement on this one grateful leper. Not only was he cleansed, healed, but he was also well, whole. The King James Version says he was whole. Interesting. I thought healed and whole was the same thing. Evidently not. Because they were not repeated. So let's look at this, all right? And I'm almost done. The nine lepers saw their chance, but they did not recognize their opportunity. You with me? That's very, very important. They saw their chance, but they did not recognize their opportunity. The one leper recognized his opportunity and took his chance. The one leper recognized his opportunity and he took his chance. It was a risk for him to go back. He didn't know whether or not Jesus was at the same place where he left him, but that's a revelation to somebody. If you strayed away from him, he's right where you left him, and he's waiting for you to come right back. See your opportunity and take that chance. And he went right back to him. Okay? And the second thing is, thankfulness separated and distinguished the one leper from the rest of the pack. I want to submit to you that thankfulness was a part of who he was already. He didn't just get thankful on his way back to Jesus. It was thankfulness that was already in him that took him back to Jesus. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Are you grateful? All right? This is getting good. This is getting good to me, okay? Here's the third thing. Jesus has an expectation of us as far as how we react versus respond to what he does for and in us. This is evident in the three questions. He said, where are the other nine? Jesus does not expect us to react with a mentality of entitlement. The other nine reacted with a mentality of entitlement. They went on about their way as if Jesus had to do for them what he did. But the one, everybody said the one.
The one
responded. He responded with a gratitude of appreciation and thankfulness because he realized, Jesus, you didn't have to do it, but you did. When I was growing up and coming up in ecclesiastical, a classical, traditional Pentecostal setting, we used to sing this song. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Y'all not ready. Hallelujah. My mother, when we was growing up, she taught us, say thank you. When people do things for you, say thank you because they don't owe you nothing. We live in a day and age, we live in a generation, we live in a time period where people think they are owed something. That's why some of them went crazy because the Trump card got elected. Let me explain something to you, okay? It didn't matter to me whether it was Killary, Billary, or Hillary, or the Trump, because my candidate is still in office. You can't take him down, and you can't put him up. He elects himself, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Trump doesn't bother me. Okay, Romans the 13th chapter. God puts the authorities in place for whatever reason. Now, I may not understand why he did it, but it don't matter. Because I'm going to be just fine, and I'm going to get what I'm supposed to get. And if Brother Trump fools around, God will move him out the way, if so, so that I can get what I'm supposed to get. I've never seen such foolishness. Christians, believers, in mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, in mourning because of an election. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Periscope, are you kidding me? Does it matter to me? God is in charge. Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and he had to tell him, listen, homie, I just stopped by to let you know, heaven rules. Tell the White House, tell the outhouse, tell the in-house, and tell your mama's house. Heaven rules. He expects us to respond with a mentality of grateful appreciation. He doesn't have to do anything for us, but because he's the kind of God that he is, he does it anyway. Okay, well, let's go further. See, the reason why it's important for you to be thankful is because it causes people to want to do more for you because they appreciate the humility that makes you grateful. See, thankfulness, and I want you to remember this as you're sitting down at the table on Thursday, eating turkey and sweet potatoes and macaroni and cheese and collard greens. Greens that have a collar around them, as you're eating cornbread and buskets. Not biscuits, but buskets. Years ago, there was an establishment in Brooklyn and a soul food joint, and they was advertising biscuits, and they had spelled it B-U-S-C-U-I-T-S. And we was in the car, and some of my family members said, hey, let's go in there. I said, I'm not going to no place where they can't spell biscuits. No. As you're sitting at the table, some of you might have ribs, and you might have sweet potato pie, you might have pumpkin pie, you might have peas and rice, you might have lasagna. You might have my favorite lamb chops. As you're sitting there, I want you to remember Jesus did it, but he didn't have to do it. Have an attitude of gratefulness. Have an attitude of thankfulness. Have an attitude of appreciation. Remember, there's just one event, one small event between you sitting at the table and the person who's living in a cardboard box underneath a bridge. Be thankful. The Bible says that one of the signs of the last days would be people would be unthankful. They would be ungrateful. They would lack appreciation. Let's not be a part of the fulfillment of that scripture. Be thankful. Be thankful. Thankfulness releases a greater blessing because it prepares you to receive more, because you demonstrate that you can be trusted with it by virtue of the fact that you value what you have. Jesus told the one leper, he said, your faith has made you well, whole. I already cleansed and healed you, but your faith made you whole. Let me tell you something. I feel the power of the living God, man. I got a few minutes. I got to get out of here. And listen, it takes faith to be thankful. The late Bishop Walter Hawkins wrote a song. He said, don't wait till the battle is over. You can shout now. Sometimes you're staring need and you're staring lack and you're staring hopelessness in the face, but you got to say, God, I thank you anyway. The Bible says in everything, what? Give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I feel the presence of the living God up in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here's the difference. The difference between the cleansing and healing and being well and whole lies in understanding the original meaning behind the words. When the Bible says that they were cleansed and healed as they went, it gives the picture of dirt being removed, okay? However, that which became dirty once can become dirty again because of choices. Yeah. Oh, God. Some of us, God picked us up out of the dirt and we went right back into it again, because you wasn't thankful when he delivered you the first time. Okay, he got you away from that joker, and then you fooled around and let him come back with some more sweet nothings, and you took yourself right back into the nothings because you wasn't thankful for the deliverance. He got you out of debt, and you didn't say thank you, and so you got right back into debt again. Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, because of your choices. But when the pronouncement of wellness and wholeness was made, the original language implies a deliverance of sorts, of being conditioned to never be in danger of becoming susceptible to that condition again. The language is actually strong as it talks about being preserved, saved, kept, and removed from the most extreme possibilities. Removing those possibilities again. Jesus told the one leper, your faith. Everybody say, my faith. Which was the faith of gratitude, gratitude-filled worship, has given you access to complete and total deliverance. Not only are you delivered from the physical manifestation of leprosy, but you are delivered from the spiritual implications of it as well. Remember when Jesus healed the man and he said, see to it that you do not sin again or something worse is going to come upon you. You remember that? All right. Thankfulness says, you know what? I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for what you did that I'm going to see to it that I never allow myself to be in that position for it to happen again. It's a choice. It's a choice. The power lies within you. And it starts with you practicing thankfulness. This flesh man that is lost in sin and dead in trespasses, thankfulness is not natural to the flesh man. But the spirit man that has been resurrected and regenerated practices through the Spirit of the living God being thankful. Rejoice in the Lord always and be ye thankful. Give God thanks all the time. I wake up in the morning, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the first thing I see when I wake up is this beautiful thing that you put next to me. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. You find reasons to be thankful. Amen. And practice them. I'm thankful because we slept all night and we didn't wake to martial law. I'm thankful.
Amen.
I'm thankful because the kids left the door unlocked all night. But some kind of way you posted angels and they stood by. And anybody that looked at the door funny, they pointed and said, keep going, Joker. I'm thankful. You got to practice it. Everybody say practice. And when you learn the lessons of gratefulness, you never go back to what you were delivered from. I can cleanse this garment, but if I don't learn the responsibility of keeping it clean, it will be subject to dirt again. However, when I'm grateful for the clean garment, I do everything that I can to make sure I do not subject it to that dirt or uncleanness again. Not only is the garment clean, but I'm made whole in my attitude and my approach to it because I'm grateful and appreciative of it. The other nine probably avoided leprosy, but they did not get the full benefit of having everything else addressed in their lives. Ooh, you get that? They probably avoided leprosy going forward, but they didn't get the benefit of everything being addressed in their lives. All right? They didn't get wellness and wholeness because they didn't go back and say thank you. But the one leper, he got the leprosy, but he got everything else. Okay? Why? Because he went back. I read it for you in the text. He went back and said thank you. Are you happy to just be healed and cleansed, or do you want to be well and whole? Do you want the whole thing? Do you just want just the one meal? Or do you want the whole full course for the whole day? So, you know, it's like this. It's like getting part of a wardrobe. Part of a wardrobe, you look deformed. You look afflicted. You look silly. Why get part of the wardrobe when you can get the whole thing? And a wardrobe is not just what you have on, but what's hanging out in your closet. God wants to take somebody to a place where you have choices. You recognize you have choices. He is not your only prospect.
That's right.
God wants you to show, wants you to see that you got choices. Okay? The devil has lied to you and told you you're not. The devil said to some of you, you're not ugly, you're ugly. And you bought into it. It's a lie. You're beautiful. You're good looking. You're great. And you would be surprised if you would see yourself as whole. You got choices. You don't have to go out with broke, busted, disgusted, and can't be trusted. Talking about a piece of somebody is better than nobody at all. You're crazy. You need to step back and say, you know what, God, I'm grateful that you made me. I'm your precious creation. And I'm going to wait and see what my choices are. And see, when you have choices and you're able to look at them, then you can evaluate things like somebody with some sense. Do you want to be just healed and cleaned? Or do you want to be well and whole? You'll get to wellness and wholeness if you be thankful. If you tell God every day, thank you. And it's not about you feeling like it. There's going to be some days you're not going to feel like telling him thank you. There'll be some days you'll be like, what are you doing, man? Why am I in this? But even in the midst of that, you got to stop and say, I thank you. And if you find it difficult to find reasons to say thank you, here it is. Always remember that there's someone who would love to trade places with you. Always. No matter how bad it is, no matter how it feels, no matter how it sounds, no matter what it looks like, there's always somebody who wants to trade places with you. And when you recognize that, you say, God, I thank you. I'm living on one income, but some are living on no income. I got one change of clothes for every day of the week, but some don't have no change for any day of the week. I'm tired of eating noodles, but somebody's not eating. Be thankful.
Be thankful.
And I promise you, by the Spirit of the living God, rest on your feet. We're going to finish. Rest on your feet. I promise you by the Spirit of the living God that if you practice worship that includes thankfulness, you'll get to being cleansed and you'll get to being healed, but you'll also arrive at wellness and wholeness.